Welcome to the 17th episode of The Punsters. In today's episode, we have the very funny and talented Dan Venti. Today's topics include doing stand-up for the first time, improv, subculture, and fucking with strangers. I hope you guys enjoy this.
We're recording now. This is happening.
Okay.
Cool.
It's been how long has it been since you recorded a podcast?
Since Chase's. So that was probably like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We've it's all been your fault, Jake.
Yeah, my bad. I don't.
Good.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I got real sick during Cameron, so I couldn't do that.
And I've been busy. And.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Raoul's real fucking cool. So,
I guess we should tell the listeners that I just got done taking an improv class from our guest, Dan Venti.
Hey.
Hey, Dan.
Hi. I taught an improv class.
He did. I totally saw it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I recommend anybody who's ever thought about taking an improv class should do it.
There you go. Promotion.
Yeah. Boom. See? First place.
No, it's really good. Improv is amazing. It's really, it's one of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I went to the last one, and I definitely want to, come back. I didn't get to go today, but I want to come back. It's a big weakness for me, and so I think that's, something that'll help me kind of develop, and I'm glad that you are offering the opportunity, and so...
Yeah, it's fun. Everyone's doing really, really well. Mm-hmm. It's great. Everyone's picking it up very fast. I kind of expected, partially, because everyone's very funny who's in the class, so it's... Mm-hmm. That makes it... That helps a bit. That's part of it. But as long as you follow the general kind of philosophy of it, it's really good. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's harder or easier to work with stand-up comics than it is to, just... some regular people, or how do you feel
civilians.
About that? Civilians.
Civilians. Stand-up comics versus regular people?
Yeah. You try and teach improv, too.
Oh, I feel like people are... I feel like it depends, because sometimes stand-ups will get caught in this thing, because as a stand-up, you train your brain to come up with the funniest thing possible, but typically in joke form, mm-hmm. Where in improv, jokes are not productive. Because it's sort of, jokes are a punchline, it's usually a final statement or observation about something, which is funny, but it stops the scene. Whereas you can use that time, instead of thinking of a joke, you can just put more information and more ideas and more energy and life into the scene, and that will escalate that to a much higher level and a much bigger laugh than whatever joke you come up with.
Mm. Yeah,
and that's kind of counterintuitive to a stand-up, because you're like, fuck you, I could come up with some funny shit, and you can, but as a group, if you really put group mind to it, mm-hmm. you come up with way, way better stuff.
Yeah, well, one of the, I think, things that a bad habit I might have when I do stand-up is commenting on the situation too much,
mm-hmm.
and that's that can be okay in small doses as a comic, but...
Yeah.
In improv, if I were to start talking about the situation as opposed to being part of it, I feel like it would just...
Yeah, because you're pulling away, you're sacrificing the reality of the scene mm-hmm. and the emotional commitment to the scene mm. for one joke, which is not, it's not beneficial for you in the long run as far as if you want to get a really big laugh or really, a really good laugh. Yeah, and the stand-up thing, commenting on what's going on, Jim Gaffigan does that very well with his, he does, a crowd voice, everyone's familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that commenting on yourself too much, whereas that's always a safety net if you're bombing. If you're mm-hmm. doing something and you're bombing, you can always talk about how bad it's going.
Mm-hmm.
That will always get a laugh. And that will give you the audience will give you some more rope. Give you a little more, give you another chance.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, I find if you comment on stuff too much, it kind of takes people out of sort of the momentum or sort of the world that you put them in when you can do really effective stand-up with a strong point of view. Because mm-hmm. people like to be led in a point of view or an opinion. And if you have a strong opinion and you kind yeah. of attack them with it, but keep everything concealed within your vision, and you just kind of, you don't take them out of that moment or that momentum, that's really strong too, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's all on how you use it. There's no rules to all this shit, so that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, definitely. That's.
I guess it's kind of doing it when you feel it's right.
Yeah, well, like anything, you can do it too much, and you can do it good. You can do it well or not well.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. You know, there are some people. What?
It's really insightful.
Thank you. Sometimes people are good at things.
Shit a lot on this watch?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
She hasn't really said anything, but that's the first thing.
Nice insight, asshole.
I had one podcast where I specifically was not mean to Jake the whole time. And
yeah.
No, it's our worst.
Was it difficult?
Yes.
Yeah.
I could tell how difficult it was for you.
I would go.
She would stop herself like mid-sentence. She'd be like, oh. Can't do that.
You keep talking. just go on.
Just do your thing, buddy. It's good.
Yeah.
It's fun. Oh, this is something I wanted to talk about. Well, we should talk about. Since we recorded.
Jamie, can you actually close the window? Thank you.
This is Dan.
It's just that, you know, plain.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you.
Jamie.
Thank you, woman.
You probably have to push it from that side. It's sort of.
Look.
No, like that, yeah, there, yeah.
Jamie's having a lot of trouble closing a window.
There you go.
I think he did a wonderful job.
Oh. Jesus. That was off mic, so in case you couldn't hear it, Jamie just said something racist.
Yeah. Surprise.
We're going to have to check in with you once an episode to say something racist about Raul.
A racist segment?
Yeah, sure.
Racism with Jamie.
So what were you, what?
Well, when I was talking, since the last time that you recorded a show, Brittany, you've done stand-up for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was so long ago, though, that I feel really weird talking about it.
When you say it was so long ago, does that mean you only did it once?
I've only done it once.
Okay.
And I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do it again.
How did the one time go?
Yeah. What was your experience?
It went, I mean, I think it went well, right? I don't remember the rest of that night.
Okay, well, I was sober, and I was there.
Where was it?
I was sober when I did it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I recall, and you did amazing. You did better than anybody I've ever seen do for the first time.
Jesus Christ. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's weird. Okay, but the thing is, I brought a lot of friends, and what they told me before, they were like, oh, God, you invited a lot of people. Why would you do that? And I was like, I wanted to, and they said that I would have a reaction from my friends who really like me and support me, and I wouldn't necessarily get a genuine reaction. And I was like, I don't care. I just want to do well. I don't care how I do well. Like, I'm so nervous.
Well, that's good.
But then afterwards, I did sort of feel like that. I'm like, I don't really know how I actually did because, mm-hmm. of course, my friends are going to laugh at me. So I agreed with you guys after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's sort of like what do they say? The like medicine, you know, like it doesn't taste good going down, but it makes you feel good later.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's true, but you don't want to. Like, I don't know, but your friend, if you continue to do stand up, your friends would come to like 4 or 5 shows and then they'd stop coming.
Yeah.
Regardless of how good you are.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
They're
it's just
not going to have the time to come see comedy shows all the time.
Yeah.
Because if you want to get good at stand up, you got to perform a lot. So like, your friends are not going to be able to keep up with you. So you inevitably will try to make a room full of strangers laugh, and you see how that goes.
Yeah.
And but you know, if you have good jokes, they'll work. You know,
well,
or if you're likable, if you, you know.
There were some jokes that I was telling, and people were laughing a lot. And I remember even being on stage, being like, "Really, guys? I don't fucking like."
That's funny.
I don't know. So, yeah, I'm not sure, but I guess it went well. And
yeah, but I mean, how'd you feel? You didn't really, like, feel much, or were you disappointed that, like, how did you feel? Like, what was your experience during and after?
Afterwards, I don't remember you being excited at
all. Yeah, you were just kind of like, oh, all right. Yeah.
It's got that done. Drunk.
What?
Did you get drunk?
After?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was terrified. I was terrified to do it. So, during, I remember feeling very, very awkward. Like, I remember having very mechanical thoughts, like, put my hand up like this.
Oh, yeah.
This, I don't know. And I'm like, I feel really fucking weird right now. Uh-huh. No, I was super relieved after. But I think I did feel a lot of, like, I don't know. I wish I wouldn't have invited so many people, is how I felt after.
I honestly think you should do it again, but now with no friends whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's what I think you should do.
Yeah.
So you can get... kind of
or
like,
in a place where you could bring a couple of friends but also have other people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, just, yeah, if you want to bring a couple of friends, yeah, that's cool. But yeah, I mean, I think, and maybe I shouldn't have mentioned to you because I think that I kind of robbed you of the experience because I was like, you know, you might not get a genuine reaction if you invite all these people.
Because I remember your face when I told you that I invited people. You were like, why?
I just didn't know. You just saw a surprise. And then plus I thought, I was like, oh, wait, you know, and then I told you, the fact that, you know, that that happens where you do get an ingenuine kind of feedback. But now I feel bad that I did that because that should have been a good experience for you. And then now it was more disappointing to
Raul
you.
Raul kills dreams. I mean, I don't know. There were comics who told me good sets.
Yeah, so yeah, cool. You did do well. Like, you know, it was still enjoyable for everybody. It was an entertaining set. So yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My other concern is I don't know if I can keep up with it. Like, I don't want to keep doing the same set over and over and over.
Again. That's just how you start. Because I mean, you only have a certain amount of material. Also, if you want to keep writing. You know, but it's just I'd like to at least experience what it's like making strangers laugh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just see how it goes from there, if you want to.
My third concern is...
Okay, all right.
Three out of...
Really have to...
I guess, well, I just feel like all of my jokes are really raunchy, and I don't want people to be like, she's like a Lisa Lampanelli ripoff, which, like, I don't think
anybody would ever think
a
that.
A lot of people, when they start out, though, they start dirty. Cause that's like it's like a...
It's kind of what naturally comes to you at first, because you're like, you know, you just want to shock people, essentially.
It's all like whether you love doing it enough to go, because it's a lot of like bullshit and a lot of effort that you have to put into it.
Yeah.
So it's all like whether you love it or want to become good at it, because it's very cool to advance in stand up because you, I don't know about you guys personally, but like when I did stand up the first like 2 years, I always felt like I was like in a shell on stage and I couldn't be free to like say whatever I wanted. I felt very confined, and I used to get off stage and I used to say to like older comic friends, like, I feel shitty on stage, like I don't feel like myself and I don't feel like I could say whatever I want or be free. And they're like, oh, just keep doing it, and they're like, just keep performing, you know. And I was like, fuck, like I want more insight than that, give me something more. But everyone would just say, oh, just keep performing. But you do that, and then, like, little by little, you start breaking. You become freer and freer on stage. And ultimately, you're just trying to become yourself again. Because you go on stage, and it's, like, all this weird factors and pressure and crowd and, like, all this stuff. And it kind of takes you out of yourself. But the idea, you go up and just be yourself. Because typically, if you start doing stand-up, you're a funny person, or if you have funny ideas or thoughts that you want to convey...
Right, or you're really, really delusional.
Or you're delusional. And then...
I think you have to be a little delusional.
Oh, yeah, everybody's got to be a little
delusional. To start... I don't know. Do you agree with that? You need to have a little bit of...
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be, like... I think delusional, I guess, is a word, or, like... it's, like, you have to be... It's really, like, a stupid thing to do. But it's an art form, which is like, there's so many different art forms and they're all, you could all say they're stupid, but they all have great benefits to them. Like, I've done so many ridiculous and stupid and terrible things while doing stand-up, or like because of around doing stand-up, but also like I feel progressing in them, being able to convey deeper thoughts and make people laugh and think, or like you just try to just get better and try to become as funny as you possibly can be, is really cool. And you know, you see yourself advance and all that stuff. And that's what I was saying before. Like, I used to feel trapped, and then you do it more and more and you start to feel freer and freer. And then you know, ultimately you just kind of, I don't know. I mean, I've been doing it like 5 years, so it's been a little, it's been a while, but that's still, you know, young as far as stand-up, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say it takes 10 years to get really good at it or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Like seven, ten years.
That's something, I don't know if I said this on the podcast before, but that's sort of terrifying and comforting to me at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I'm like, holy shit, that's forever. But then I'm also like, oh, so even if I'm not that good right now, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not supposed to be, you know, Louis C.K. Yeah. after 8 months yeah. or whatever.
And that comes back to you, Brittany, where it's like,
oh, why aren't you better already?
Yeah. I'm going to say right now. Right now, you're terrible.
That's how okay? I feel.
So it's fine. Just be terrible and just get better.
That's how I feel about everything, like even with acting. Like if I'm not good at it right away, I'm like, I'm never going to be good at it then. I can't foresee
that's a bad attitude.
Yeah.
I know. And I've gotten better at acting.
That's good.
Yeah.
People are so good at learning and adapting to stuff, so you just fucking, you make yourself learn it, and you will.
Yeah. And yeah. I know that thought is ridiculous.
But that's very natural. You got to understand, like, everybody thinks that.
Yeah.
It's a matter of it's that also, that if you put a whole group of people and you say, hey, learn how to do stand-up comedy, and people go up once and they go, ah, fuck, this is hard. You're going to have a large portion of that group just quit right there. And then you'll have people go up a second time and it'll go bad. And then a large portion of people will quit from that group, and it gets whittled down to people who are like,
yeah, it funnels.
I don't give a shit that it's going bad. I'm going to fight through this because I know someday I'll be good at this.
Yeah.
And and sometimes that doesn't happen with people. And that's really funny for the rest of us. Yeah. But, you know, it's so rare. Like, if you really go and perform and just, if you write and perform, like, you're going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult not to.
Yeah.
Like, it's unusual for people to keep at it for years and not improve slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's not something that you should ever worry about if anybody's worried about that.
You should just have fun. Like, it doesn't, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you just gotta have fun doing it and then work hard.
Yeah, well, plus I feel like one of the things that keeps me going when I'm not feeling funny or I feel like, oh, I haven't written anything in forever or I don't want to perform or any of that negative stuff about it. It's like, I think it's mostly the people that I've met through comedy that has had like the biggest benefits.
Yeah.
For me, like knowing comics is mm-hmm. probably the sorry, Jamie's making a face. But knowing comics is like the coolest thing about doing comedy when you're new.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're not good yet, I'd be like, oh, well.
That's like probably the most fun part is like hanging out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I feel like I have to do it, because if I don't start doing comedy and I keep hanging out around you guys, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
I used to. Good point. We used to have this girl, her name was Joni, and she would be an actress in all of our sketches. She was like our go-to actress, and she was so good. And, but she was not like a comedy nerd and like a just a piece of shit like the rest of us. So we'd have her in scenes and sketches and stuff, and we'd be making all these movie reference jokes and like all this weird stuff, and she'd go, I just feel like I need to watch, you know, a lot of movies so I could keep up with you guys. And we would just laugh and be like, you don't want it, like, you're normal and you're good, like, you don't want to be you know, this is bad.
Like, well, yeah, being a comedy nerd is obviously a retreat from real life. It's like,
yeah, well, it's like, I think you could say that about anything, though. Like, I feel like people in general, you just like decide like what you like, and then you just do that, and you're like, this is what life's about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't look outside their that little world, and then sometimes you know, depends on how deep a level you think, right?
Yeah,
right.
The fact that some people...
But the people who don't think... The people who are just in their world and don't think out, they're the funniest people. Those are the best, like, characters and stuff, because they're small-minded people and, you know, in a... Like, I like that there's subcultures for everything. Do you know?
Yeah.
I noticed... I went out for, like, a work function one time, and there's a bowling alley. And in the bowling alley, there's people doing karaoke. Mm-hmm. And people will go out and get drunk and sing karaoke for fun.
Yeah.
I do a mean Macy Gray. But there was these people in this bowling alley doing karaoke, and they were dressed up, and they were singing, like singing their hearts out. Mm-hmm. And I was getting a beer and I saw this and I was like, fuck. And I was just thinking, like, man, there's like little mini subcultures and little worlds for like every interest. And there's people within those that are like, that's their whole life. Mm-hmm. And it's much like us doing comedy. This is like our whole life, our like little world. You just go to like clubs and bars and you just, you know, which is fun. But like they have that for all different stuff. So subcultures, I don't know. I like comedy is, I guess, weird, but it's relatively like a lot of people like comedy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's obscure ones, which are really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was into a lot of, like, I had a lot of hobbies growing up, and so I would see, and me and my brother both were the type of people that, like, we really like to immerse ourselves in whatever we're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, my brother was, he was a professional gamer for a while. He played, Smash Bros. Brawl, like, professionally, like, he was, like,
I was, like
top
ranked,
20,
like, yeah.
25 in the nation, you know, like, and so, Jesus. Of course, I had to be part of that, too, or, yeah. like, you know, he was, like, here, play with me, because I need someone to play with, and eventually, you know, he just blasted right, you know, past me. But I was still kind of in the scene and stuff, you know, so I did that, you know, like I played, you know, when we were younger.
And you probably have like parties.
Yeah, yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah, like we'd have house
Brothers
tournaments.
Or, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, absolutely, we'd bring people.
Yeah, it's like, you just like, it's funny.
Meet, there's a lot of people that you meet and that you recognize. You're like, oh, I saw you, you know, like at this one or whatever. And there's people that were like famous within the community, essentially, you know, and people who were internationally, like people knew, you know, my brother's moniker is Havoc. And so people... I remember this guy from Japan came to a tournament, and then I told him, like, oh, I'm Havoc's brother, and he's like, oh, Havoc?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you know?
Which are, like, legend, yeah, they're huge people, and, like, everyday people are like, I don't know who the fuck Havoc is.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, in there, yeah. They're, like, royalty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's so funny, because people, it's interesting, like, I feel like people's minds, like, people just make up their mind about, like, what they accept, you know? Like, yeah. You could say that about, like, people's, like, life beliefs or, like, religion or anything. Mm-hmm. And they, like, your mind's so powerful, you just, like, if you decide that it's one way and you go, this is how things are, everything, you just look at everything that way, which mm-hmm. is fun. As opposed to, like, that's why people say, like, be open-minded as to, like, you could say, like, oh, nobody knows anything. And there's no real truth, and you kind of just look at everything as, like, a weird abstract kind of... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then your whole world just falls apart.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's fun.
Is that fun?
Yeah.
I think somehow that, like, because you, like, you could make that, like, your whole world. Like, mm-hmm. your brother probably became, like, you became a professional gamer. You'd go to these parties, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you, like, there's people, like, that's... Everything is gaming to them.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like you ever talk to a surfer?
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, I love surfing, but I fucking hate surfers. And or like, there's a lot of things that I love, but I hate the culture of.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I hear that surfers, like they'll really yeah is a great example. Yeah. You surfers will, you know, or a lot of people, you like you could talk to them about anything and they'll just bring it back to whatever their interest is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, God damn it, you're just this thing, like you're just uh-huh. a surfer.
Yeah.
You're just a gamer. People like what, like one-dimensional people, I guess.
Yeah.
Is what you'd call it.
Yeah.
So I find that interesting. Those are the best people though, because they're, you know, they don't. It's not like this isn't funny what we're talking about right now. This is more. I don't know what you'd want to call it.
A conversation.
Yeah. But like, I find those people that makes the best characters, like one-dimensional, like focused. Obsessive people.
People who are brilliant and racked with self-doubt.
Like, yeah.
They're interesting, but that's not... Like, Leonardo da Vinci is not funny, but a really dumb guy who only knows about trucks.
Yeah.
Like, he can be funny.
Yeah.
I remember, like, in high school or something, a couple of my friends were making fun of some guy that went to the school, he was like a bro, and one of his friends overheard, and they're like, how can you make fun of that guy? He's got the best truck in the school.
Like, which is so funny, because that person values...
That's their value system.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Is having a cool truck.
Yeah, which is so...
And we're like, I don't care about... That's not important to me.
But that's exactly it. that's why it's so funny. That's why, like, people are so funny when they're very convicted on stuff, because it's that belief system that trucks are important. But you could trucks could be anything, and but they go, someone could be like extremely like, you know, well, just use trucks. They could just be like, fucking trucks are awesome. You go, I don't give a fuck about trucks. I don't care. I couldn't care less. Mm-hmm. That guy has a good truck. Fuck him. He can go fuck himself. And but you put anything in there. It's interesting.
Well, yeah. I get that a lot. Well, I don't get that a lot. Every once in a while, I get that with sports.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about. I'm not angry at sports. At
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just not my thing. And some people are so into sports that they don't even understand what I mean when I say that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, sports are just, that's just the world that we're in. It's uh-huh. about sports. And if you're not into sports, it's like not being alive.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we just have such...
They won't, they won't understand.
At first, I thought you were going to start to refer to me while I was right here.
Some bitch who wants to start some football podcast.
What's interesting about sports, too, is it's... sports and politics, it's like something that people get very emotionally invested in.
Yeah.
And it's an ever-changing thing, so it's, you never have a lack of things to learn or talk about or new information to be had. Mm-hmm. So it's an ever, you know, you could always just attach yourself to that. And then, but you have no control over either. Like, you could vote, but who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
And then sports, you have no control over. You could go to a game, you could cheer. How much does that help? Probably not that fucking much.
0%.
I don't know.
No,
yeah, who knows?
Is very important.
Someone can debate that, but I really don't think it's important. And so I really don't think, and majority, like, some people, if you're fortunate enough to go to a game, great, you're in there, cheer loud, maybe that helps a little bit. The large majority of people are watching from home, yelling and, like, not talking to their wives if their team loses. And it's
so lucky.
Yeah, it's funny because you know, I don't know what that is, but it's like, I like one sports team, the tragic, the Knicks, because I'm from New York. I grew up in the 90s, they're great, and so my whole sports experience is just bitter defeat over and over again.
Yeah.
So that's helped with life, I guess. But you have no, so it's funny, like, you don't like sports. I don't really like sports much. So to see people get really emotionally invested in is very funny to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll argue with people if, like, they like a certain sports team, I'll say I like whoever they don't like, and stuff.
It's such a weird experience to not be invested in. Like,
yeah.
For somebody to care only about one thing, and then you're just sort of distant, like,
yeah.
Well, I don't. That's a really weird. I had, it's like, someone, a weird kind of power that you
I
have
had someone that. Explain to me the benefit of sports, and I was like, wow, that's really brilliant. And it was that he said sports is like a universal language, in that it could bring people together from any kind of background or upbringing or situation, anything. But if you like a team, you could sit there and have a conversation with each other and talk. And I was like, well, that's really true. But what I was trying to say, or what I was trying to get to before, is, like, you don't have any control over sports or politics, so people become obsessed about that, and I think that's sort of a waste of time, whereas, like, comedy, I guess, is a waste of time, but at least you're, like, advancing in something. Like, you're doing...
You're a part
which
of
you
it.
Could yeah. say, yeah, you're a part, and you're actually doing a skill.
Yeah.
So, like, if you... So I feel like it's better to become obsessed with, like, becoming a great carpenter than being like, I'm the biggest fucking LA Lakers fan in the world.
Right.
No one's a bigger Lakers fan than me. You're like, congratulations. Because you must be very successful. What are you doing? You have no control over it. You could go and cheer. This person probably has season tickets, I'd imagine. But maybe they don't. Maybe they're broke. They just sit at home. They yell. They get really happy or really sad. If they're a Lakers fan, they're probably really sad. Although they kicked the shit out of the Knicks the other day. But that's just it. Like, you don't have any control over it. So if you don't like sports, like, I generally don't like... I'm not very into sports. I just like... Just like them. But I find it funny because I'm like, oh, you're wasting all this effort when you could be learning how to do something.
Right.
You know, or skill.
But you could do both.
You could do both, yeah. There's balance in life.
But some people are all about that, and that's kind of who we're talking about more.
But right? I also don't think you become great at anything if you're very balanced. I think you need to become, like, fucking obsessed with whatever you're doing to become... Or good at it. You don't have to... Like, you need life balance to be a human and keep your sanity. But, like, I think you have to become, like, pretty obsessed or, like, pretty focused.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if your number one priority is your job at a bank... you're probably not going to be a great comic.
I feel like you guys are all subtly talking shit about me right now.
Anybody who works at a bank is a piece of shit.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just the loan underwriters specifically.
Well, loan underwriters are basically the spawn of Satan.
Well, I think who would ever argue with you on that?
Yeah. Mm. The worst people.
I hate it. That's
what I'm saying is... I know that when I say that's their number one priority, like, that's what they care about.
Yeah, I don't care.
You have that job because they pay you to be there. You don't... I know... You've never spoken to me about loan underwriting, ever. We've never had a I don't know what it is yet. You've had that job for 3 years. That's how I know it's not your number one priority. You have other things going on.
Yeah.
And that's good. Like, I don't understand people who have a job, care about that job, and that's it. Unless it's, like, an art thing.
Yeah. I guess it's whatever you're into. Because there are people who are like, their passion is business. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I want to be
a business.
Those
are the worst people in the world.
Yeah. But they hate you and I.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
They hate us. They view us as useless pieces of shit.
Yeah.
You know? Just as we view them as, like, the worst people ever. You know, it's just...
And we're both right. Like, in our value system, they're terrible. And in their value system,
It's just all in what you value. Which is really... It's just your own personal choice, so that's an individual thing, which means if you branch that out to a big thing, nothing means anything.
Right.
So, but don't let it fall apart. You just hold on to whatever you value, and then you hang out with those people who value the same things, and you have fun, and then you die.
We're a little bit abundant on that.
No, but it's interesting. It's funny to see, like, you interact with people with different, you know... It's like you just construct whatever you want, wherever you feel.
Yeah, I think conflicting value systems is funny.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's like what the basis of, like, you ever watch All in the Family?
Uh-uh.
It's a sitcom from the 70s. Archie Bunker. You ever heard of Archie Bunker?
I've heard of Archie Bunker.
Yeah. It's like what all modern family sitcoms are really based off of. But they would do great like value system clashing between the dad Archie Bunker and then the son-in-law,
because he was like an old school
Archie Bunker was like old school bigot. Traditional values, like traditional value system, and then the son-in-law was like very progressive, and so they would always argue, like, you know, issues and social issues and stuff. So that made it really interesting. So it makes for a very interesting conversation. But the thing is, people are such assholes that they're not open-minded enough to, like, exchange people feel that they're right, and then they just
want to express that.
Yeah, that's why, like, that's why news media and stuff is a lot of, like, opinion based, and it's all horse shit, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're very leaning one way or the other, because people just watch what supports their own ideas, and then they feel good, and they go, "These people are assholes."
Yeah.
And then on that side, they go, "These people are assholes." Whereas, like, if everyone kind of said, "All right, you know, this is how things are. Let's all work together and make things better," they would be good. But it's human nature to want to feel, like, good and right and, you know, all that shit, which is very shallow and, like, very, very, it doesn't help, you know, it doesn't help things.
No, but I mean, it's very vindicating to feel like you understand the way the world works and the other group just, they don't get it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And, like, you're, you know, we're the smart ones. They're kind of...
Yeah.
They're kind of dumb and backwards.
That's exactly how... That's... Every person is... That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's the fault. That's, like, the tragedy of humans, you know?
Yeah.
We've...
This is a really serious... This is maybe the most abstract philosophical conversation we've ever had on the show.
I'm sorry.
I don't care for it.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
I was going to bring up, but it's going to be very serious again, how That's we fine. Were talking about at
We'll make it up. We'll make it, we'll make it work.
We'll workshop it.
Jake and I were having a conversation on Friday at a bar where people are supposed to have fun about how we've never been excited about anything in our whole life.
Like, That's really funny.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way. Like, we were trying really hard to think of a moment where we were actually, not just like looking forward to something, but really excited.
And yeah.
I don't get excited
with like your season tickets?
I said no.
No? Okay.
No. No.
What about like, do you have friends?
Yeah.
Okay, so you ever like plan a fun night with your friends and you're like getting ready to do that and you're like, I'm feeling something in.
Yeah, no. Usually excitement. I'll feel like I'm looking forward to something, but also in my head I'm like, if that didn't happen, I could care less one way or the other.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I mean.
Do you ever, you know, they say like live in the moment?
Yeah.
You should do that.
I know. It's very hard. I said the most...
It's not hard. It's much easier than... It's a much less daunting and... Like, just fucking... Just enjoy whatever you're doing.
I want to do that.
It kind of fucks up your life, but, like, you have a lot of fun along the way.
Yeah. No, I really want to live in the moment. I don't know how to do it. Yeah. I'm constantly thinking about what's going to be happening.
I think living in the... It's really good advice, but, like, I don't think... Like, I mean, monks and stuff, whoever came up with it, had access to all the bullshit that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they never have 401ks. You know what I mean? That's, that's an in-the-moment thing.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I never want to go to work. Ever.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the most excited I've ever been about anything is probably something Harry Potter related.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
It's so true, though.
Well, I mean, okay.
That's funny. I've been excited many times. I get excited most days. Like, I remember coffee exists and I get excited. Because I started drinking coffee like a year ago and I fucking love it. Because I could have used it in college very much.
I don't drink coffee.
You
don't
drink
coffee? Yeah. Oh, we
just figured it out. All right.
Yeah. We wrap up the podcast. Just thanks.
Coffee and improv. I think that those are two.
Yeah.
Two good things.
Good coffee.
Good coffee.
Good coffee and mediocre improv. Those are the two things in life.
I guess what I mean about get excited, because I get excited about things, but there are not many things that I get excited about where if it weren't to work out or if it got canceled or something,
you'd be
that
really
that I would care.
Well, yeah. I feel like, okay, when we were at that bar, what sparked this conversation was there's a band playing. It's at the Blarney Stone.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's a band playing and... Since it's a bar band, you know, they do a lot of audience participation stuff where it's like clap along or sing this verse or like a, you know.
Yeah.
And people who were in the bar were like really into it. This is a great band. And I enjoyed them. But people were enjoying them on a level that I don't enjoy anything.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. I've never.
Like, they were just
having the time of their lives. There's that. You know, there, I understand. Okay, I'm understanding more. After you paint that picture.
Yeah. I mean, I would never say that I don't look forward to things. I would look forward to this class.
Sometimes people get so excited that you almost start backing up in the other direction because you're like...
Yeah.
You're like, I've never been excited about that and fuck them for feeling so happy, you know?
Well, it's like, well, you're experiencing an emotion that I'm just not familiar with.
Yeah.
It's like they're from another planet.
They were basically so into it. And I was like, I've never been excited about anything like they are for this band in this bar right now.
You both must have been jaded very early.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Could be true.
I mean, that's probably true. But I don't know.
Do you guys like fucking with people when you go out in public? Like messing around with people?
Yeah.
This is where, like, all I was trying to, I think, loosely get to before, like, and turn philosophical, which is unfortunate, I guess. But, like, if you understand or, like, see what people believe in and all that stuff, you could just fuck with them because they, especially if they take it seriously. Like, usually if you're educated, like, and someone tries to fuck with you, like, a belief system, you're like, I don't care.
You're a stranger.
Because you're not going to let them affect you. Mm. I don't know if educated is the right word. Just like socially inept. Or not inept.
Yeah.
So if you're... But it's fun to like just fuck with people, like make assumptions or like mess with people like that. I don't know. I like to do that when I go out in public. I don't know if it seems like you guys kind of mess with each other a lot.
Yeah, well, I like.
I don't know if you mess with strangers though.
I try to not talk to strangers as much as possible.
Really?
Because I feel like most of them are just pretty shitty.
This is a fundamental disagreement I have with a lot of stand-up comics, and this is where improv comes in handy, because I hang out with mostly stand-up comics. I'd say 80-90% of the time, and they, almost all of them, hate talking to strangers, and for that very reason, they always go, "Strangers are shitty people," and I go, "Yeah, so fuck with them." Because who cares about them if they're shitty people? You don't have to, like, take them in and look after them.
Yeah.
Just, like, mess with them. Like, you, like, if you're out in public, you could just, you, and I was telling Josh this when we were sitting here before, but, like, and in improv, like, when you initiate a scene, you try to take in information off people. So you, like, actively listen and you make assumptions on their body language and all these different little factors. But you could do that to strangers and just go, "Miss, you're having a terrible day," and you could just and start messing with people in public. So it's just like looking at it differently.
Yeah.
It's like, instead of like, "This person's shitty, fuck them, I'm not going to talk to them." It's like, "This person's shitty, fuck them, I'm going to fuck with them." It's just like you get more use out of people. Also, going out's a lot more fun because you have an infinite amount of situations that you can stir up. It's just you don't do anything that'll get yourself hurt.
That's what I was gonna say. I feel like as a girl, I can fuck with people a lot more than you guys could.
Well, you have to just be a good judge of character, and you have to know when you're crossing a line, or like you have to just be.
Jamie.
Don't put yourself.
What?
And when I say fuck with people, I don't mean be mean.
Right.
You know, it's just like kind of. I don't know. Just
be a weird character.
I don't know. I just try to have fun, because eventually, like, you drink with your friends enough times, it gets boring. You got to start doing stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll try to do that more often. Because mostly, when I see a stranger, like the idea of talking to them, I'm not anxious about it or anything. I'm just like, that seems boring. Yeah. Like, I know that my friends are interesting. I'd rather just talk to them. 100% of the time.
I can see.
But do it for your friend's enjoyment.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah. Well, I find it enjoyable because I can see people talk to him that he doesn't know sometimes, and like I can actively see him not enjoying himself.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't enjoy most people. That's. But I don't know.
It's funny. I enjoy most people, but I'm really drawn to and friends with people who hate people for some reason. Yeah. Almost everyone I'm close friends with.
When you put it that way, and when I think, like, how do we all become friends at that, when you're like, everyone's has that perspective, like, how do you become friends?
It's seeing the same people multiple times in unplanned situations.
Yeah, but it's also like it's all that shit, like a shared, you know, shared like things in common, or like if you like being around people. Yeah. People always like give off a consistent like vibe or like a way about them. Uh-huh. You know, just whatever kind of personalities mesh. Mm-hmm. And some people you're just like, fuck, I hate, like, they're here, and you're like, you know, you won't be happy to see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or some people you enjoy a lot. You're like, yeah, that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I feel like it's girl. A little easier with comedy because you can kind of get a sense of, like, you see them do stand up.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this person's cool, or they're funny, or this person's a fucking monster who I never want to speak with.
Yeah. Some people who are very awesome off stage are not funny on stage, and vice versa. I know a lot of funny people, like tremendously funny people, who are horrible to talk to off stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the, you know, same thing. Like, people, it's like all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you're saying. You kind of get like you get to observe them.
Yeah. In, well, comedy, I would never
doing stuff.
I would never not be friends with somebody because I didn't think they were a super hilarious comic.
Yeah.
But if they were talking about certain subject matter, like, for example, if there was a comic in San Diego who, every time he told a joke, he turned it into talking shit about women. hypothetically, if a comedian like
could
that
could you imagine
to
if
exist,
someone like that existed?
What a world that would be if every time he's talking about, oh, it's a water balloon fight. Speaking of water balloons, women are whores. What if there was a guy who did that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be friends
to
with
that blanket guy. Statement all women into really small
right.
Negative just, stereotypes. Yeah,
painting them
that'd,
all as...
That'd be so shitty if someone actually did that.
Oh, could you imagine?
Could you imagine if someone did that over and over again and then people criticized them for it and then they just kept doing it?
Yeah. And like if people would get up on stage and be like, oh, that guy,
yeah, right.
he's probably talking shit about women
or,
again.
Or if he was like invited to a podcast and then someone like talked to him about it and he was like, no, I know. And then kept doing it.
Yeah, what if
that'd be crazy?
What if two established comedians were to confront him about it on a show, and he continued with on his merry way?
And what if this person? And we're just saying, like, yeah, because we're making really crazy hypothetical assumptions. But what if this person in real life was very smart?
Yeah,
like
oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
smart like, that like you a... go, this person's probably smarter than all of us. Yet,
yeah.
He goes on and then just says atrocities, not insight or good opinions, because I've heard misogynist comedians who are brilliant, and but it's all based on like social truths or relationships.
Sure, but this guy, hypothetical guy.
But!
No.
Hypothetically, if that was not as ever said and the person was smart... And oh, people like repeatedly said, please, you shouldn't do this. You're so smart. Why don't you do smarter comedy?
So he's like practically a grad student.
Crazy.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
he's taking a science. He's some getting kind of, a degree.
It would like be crazy like, if he was getting a science degree.
Right, oh, yeah. What can you? Oh, God.
And like, then, I got like physics or something like that. Like,
or like, something like really well, difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, something that you have to be smart to
right,
be good at.
Yeah.
And then also, another layer. What if he was also a member of a minority group?
Oh! No way! This is getting.
And instead of empathizing with people who are members of other, you know, not minority, but, you know,
any yeah.
oppressed groups.
Yeah, any.
Instead of identifying with them and going, oh, hey, you know what? I don't like being discriminated against. Maybe I shouldn't discriminate against others. Instead, he turns that around and goes, fuck those people. Fuck women. They're the worst.
And then just for shits and giggles, he has a black girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Well, that would be something. Can you imagine?
You guys...
But
you guys,
I don't know.
That's an impossible
that scenario is too wild to exist. So,
it's too crazy for real life.
Yeah,
no, yeah.
It's, yeah.
Boy,
I love you.
So anyway, what were we talking about before we went on that crazy, just an absurd person that we described, a hypothetical person?
I think that I'm getting vertigo. That kind of sucks.
Right now.
Well, not just right now, but...
Did you order the movie in the mail?
Oh, God. I don't understand why you tear so much. No, so the past two times that I've gone running at the gym, I've been on the treadmill, and for no reason, I feel like I'm about to fall over. Like, could you guys imagine running on the treadmill but with your eyes closed? How yeah. you would feel if you were...
Yeah.
That's how I feel with my eyes open. And I can't run. I have to stop doing it. And then for the past couple days, I've just felt super out of it and really weird. And when I move my head, like, everything seems very... Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but it's bothering me.
Have you been eating? It could be like malnourishment or something. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been eating.
I've been eating.
You should go to the doctor.
Yeah. I know. It's yeah. yeah. And then on Friday, I was at work and I was talking to some woman on the phone, and I started stuttering this one word really badly. Like I couldn't get it out of my. I'm like, I think I'm having a stroke or something. I don't know what's happening. This is.
Yeah, maybe get it checked out. That happened to me once or twice on stage, where I had this like vertigo kind of feeling. Where, like, my whole vision, like, tilted and started going, and I was like, I'm going to pass out.
Yeah.
And I was performing and telling a joke, and I was like, I could tell this joke, but in the back of my head, I was like, I'm passing out right now. I'm going to pass out.
Jesus.
And then, like, I'm like, it's weird.
Yeah.
But it's usually if I have, like, I'd have, like, a ton of caffeine.
Oh.
You know, like, I found, I usually, do you guys drink Well, you said you don't drink coffee, right?
Not really.
I always drink coffee before I perform.
Really?
I feel like it's cheating. Because caffeine, like, you get, you know, just makes you, like, it gives you energy and makes you sharper.
Yeah, you know what? I've heard that from multiple people that, like, being caffeinated activates your brain in a different way. That, like, you're more attentive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, it's a, but then you coffee. Crash.
I take Adderall.
Well, that's an amphetamine.
We should smoke meth before we do stand-up. You guys think of that?
We, one time, at a... Did you guys ever do Mamma Mia's?
Yeah.
One time we did Mamma Mia's, and they gave us the stuff called...
Okay, no. Good.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, they gave us the stuff called ZT.
ZT?
It was the letter Z and then T, like iced tea.
Oh.
So it was like this herbal tea, and it was from some herb shop in San Diego. But the guy gave us samples. It was me, Michaela, Harumi, Bandic. I think Sam was there. I don't know. It was just a group of us. And we all drank this stuff. And I felt like I was on some sort of weird, like, euphoric drug. And I felt so relaxed and open. And it was so strange. And they sell them, like, $5 each. But we were like, this is fucking... We all went up and had very, like, loose sets. And we're like...
Did you guys crush?
We all did really well, yeah, because we're all just really loose.
Yeah.
It was so weird. How'd that come up? We were just talking about...
Doing drugs before doing comedy.
Doing drugs. Before, so, like, yeah. I don't know. I think it would be funny to see how people react to different
in
stuff.
In L.A., Ryan Talmos has a show called the PUI, which is Performing Under the Influence.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the idea is, he used to be okay with having, like, harsher drugs on it, but eventually it got to a point where they're just doing drugs.
Yeah,
you know, not
yeah.
even a show. So now he has restrictions. But yeah, you know, the idea is that you do a set sober, like Stone Cold Sober, and then if you want, you know, smoke, or if you want to, like, just get, you know, plastered drunk, and then you do it, like, another... I think it's 10 minutes total, so first you do 3 up front, and then you do 7 later.
Oh,
it was a lot of fun the time that I went.
That's interesting.
That sounds awesome.
That's a fun show. I'd imagine you might run into some trouble, but...
Right, he had to do it in his, like, friend's apartment, and so, you know, that way...
I was going to say, like, I don't know how you would do that unless you were just, like, show up, you know, at your own... Drugs at your own discretion.
Yeah.
I think I've been on stage drunk, like, 2 times. I don't think... And I never, like, can gauge how well the set's going.
Yeah,
I'm kind of bad at that in general, of knowing how well I'm doing. But when I'm drunk, I'm like, I have to ask people the next day, did I bomb or did I... I mean, what happened? Because I never know.
I don't like to get drunk and go up. If I drink at all, I'll drink, like, a pint of beer. But 2 at the most. But usually after that, I'm like, it starts fucking me up. Because alcohol, I feel like there's like a real short bell curve. It's like fucking in college. Remember in college? Well, you are dating, so I'm sorry. are you guys dating?
No.
Okay. So in college, you were at college?
I mean, community college, so.
Shit.
Somebody in this room went to Berkeley.
I feel like alcohol has like a real like a bell curve. There's like a sweet spot when you can get drunk where it's like really productive and you're like, this is great, but it falls off real
very
quick,
sharp decline.
Going either too much or too little. So if you get that like perfect kind of drunk, and I guess some people have the formula down, you could probably be very funny and stuff, but generally like it's not good to rely on anything
absolutely
to get you going or be funny, right? You just fucking...
Yeah, people, there are some people who smoke weed a lot before they go on stage. I'm like, I don't get that. I mean, I understand why you'd want to do that sometimes. Like I said, I've been drunk on stage twice.
I think that, like alcohol, like people, I feel like it maybe loosens them up or like lowers their inhibitions. But like ultimately you want to like, figure out, you know, be sharp and like, or be on your feet. So I guess it depends. Like some people will be like, I need 2 beers to be my sharpest or like to feel normal or whatever they want to say. I don't know. I guess it's all like a personal thing.
Yeah.
I guess.
The couple times that I like was drunk on stage. Like I felt like I was like, okay, you know, it'll help me be loose or whatever. Or like I was just already drunk and I was like, ah, this will go fine. And then I get up there and I bombed like the hardest I've ever bombed. And it was a weird feeling because it felt like I was being really loose.
And you bombed
before. Yeah.
Yeah, let's be clear about that.
Yeah, it's never happened. No, and yeah, I just didn't do well at all. And it was just a weird feeling because I was still kind of having fun. And I was like, I'm being really loose. But no one else is enjoying this besides me.
Yeah. I've been drunk on stage many times. Terrible.
Yeah, no one else enjoys your drunk self as much as you enjoy your drunk self.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, it's never.
That's true.
I don't like drinking before anything that I care about, though. Because you just don't experience it.
But you don't care about anything, so.
No, I didn't say I don't care about anything.
So you read Harry Potter sober.
I would never go. I would never read Harry Potter drunk or go to a Harry Potter movie drunk.
And it's good thing you have priorities.
I don't drink before football games or.
I know people who I have friends who, like, I'll go to their house to watch football, and I'll be like, I brought beer, and they're like, oh, I don't drink it. I can't drink and watch football. And I'm like,
that seems like the only reason to watch football.
Yeah, beer, but I don't want to be drunk because then I won't really remember or experience the game or what's going on with it. And it's like, I already enjoy this, so I don't need to be drunk to enjoy this. You know.
But if you get drunk and you enjoy it, it's like compounded fun.
Yeah,
it's
like a double whammy of fun.
And I'll be like, what really happened?
See, this is where
then you get to experience the game all over again. It's fun.
I'm very in support of like. I'm very idealist when it comes to things. So I'm like, if I enjoy watching football, but I could also be drunk, I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. And that leads, that's a tragic, intense death drive that leads you to a lot of dark places. But
I don't know, but that could lead to good. That's how they it's
a, you
races.
Have a lot of fun.
It's like peanut butter's good,
in the moment,
chocolate's good.
Compounded fun. Do all the things all at once and make fun of strangers for what they believe in. Because you don't believe in it, and you don't give a shit.
This is fantastic advice. I think we've really helped some kids today.
We helped some kids become assholes.
Yeah. Become shitty, useless adults like us.
Yeah. But at least they'll learn a trade and not like sports and politics.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
Hopefully.
If they're lucky.
If they're smart.
How much time have we done?
We're about an hour. Dan, is there anything you want to plug?
We have New Best Thing this Wednesday, the 2nd. It's at 9 o'clock at the Whistle Stop. Will this be posted before?
Tuesday.
Tuesday? Oh, okay, perfect. Well, yeah, Wednesday, so the following day. And it starts at 9, and it's free.
Yeah, I went last month, and it was a lot of fun. I'm definitely
awesome,
going
to
go.
Man. We're doing a news theme this time.
Nice.
And I have a lot of video editing left to do. Yeah.
Anything you want to plug, Raul?
I'll be working at the Madhouse. I guess just come visit me because I get lonely. come down to the Madhouse sometime. Space Bar's on Fridays, every Fridays, except for the first of the month. Dustin Nickerson takes care of that one. But any other one, come by Space Bar. On Fridays, and that's all I got for right now.
I want to plug Jake's parents are going out of town, so he's going to be having parties.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah.
Where do you live?
Chula Vista.
Lake. Chula Vista.
It's kind of a drive.
Have fun.
Thank you. So everybody should come out to that.
Yeah, okay, that's...
Have a huge, like, every comic in San Diego party. Like, put it on the San Diego Comedians page, and put, like biggest party of the year, like blah blah blah, and then we'll come and we'll wreck your house.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you'll hate everybody.
Okay.
And then probably
we'll get the address.
I will personally wreck your house. I have more respect for you than that.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm saying most likely.
But you'll plan out the wrecking of the house.
No.
You'll mastermind it.
Is it your parents' house?
Yes.
I'll put your mom's underwear in the cereal.
Oh, okay.
That's a good move.
That's a cute prank, though. That doesn't hurt anybody.
That's because
you open.
You pour in those Cheerios, and then those
panties.
Those Sunday comfortable ones come flopping out.
flopping out.
That's good.
The most beautiful expression in the English language.
We'll get the address and the dates, Raul. We'll record it into the intro. Also, Jake has a really great picture of him doing karate at his house, so you guys can come out.
Oh, nice.
Whoa. Taekwondo.
Oh, that's right. All right.
You really should have a big party. You should not a big a party. Yeah. You should have a party.
Yeah, okay.
Take advantage. We won't wreck your house. People would be nicer than that.
No,
invite only people that you think are cool, and then invite people you think they think are cool, and then invite people they think are cool.
Right.
That's how a party happens.
Okay. this is all great advice. I'll probably do. My dad listens to the show.
We're not having a party.
There's no party.
We're not having a party.
Love you, Dad. Have fun in Georgia. I think that's where you are. Okay. I'm going to plug something, even though I plugged both of my Madhouse competitions on the show, and the only people that came out were Jamie and Raul to either of them. And Jessica Barnes. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, we were on the same show, the Madhouse competition.
Yes.
And you obliterated the room.
Oh,
you're a very funny man. Yeah, Jamie really liked it a lot.
That was she voted for you over me. So.
Okay. So.
Did you? That's awesome.
That's so funny.
No.
Oh.
No.
Well.
Sorry. I mean, she liked you.
It all worked out, right?
Yeah, he didn't pass. So.
Yeah, it didn't make. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's fair. I'm doing a show at the Comedy Store this month with Cameron and probably Dallas and I think Chris Curtis and people like that. So
nice.
That'll be fun. I'll get to the date on the next episode because I don't know.
Well, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, this was
it got weird and abstract, but I feel like we wrapped it up nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that crazy character we
made up.
Oh, yeah. Man. Just completely. Someone should write that and do a sketch or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like they just do a character where he's right. Just like his whole life, like he just lives exactly how we describe.
Regardless of all poignant and and right directing advice.
Yeah, you set aside empathy so you can do this character for your whole life. Boy, that would just be, that'd be so crazy, wouldn't you guys?
It'd be insane.
I could do that for another 45 minutes, so let's not do that.
Cool. But,
all right, well.
Thanks. Thanks,
thank
Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This was awesome.
I've been Raul Zambrano.
I'm Brittany Herzbrun.
I'm Jake Disharoon.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Next time.
Thanks for listening next time.
Have a great life.